Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Hi, Gabriella. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm an author. This is my debut romance, adult romance, partially inspired from when I was working in a library, at least on Marcella's careers part. And then, you know, the series. So you might see other side characters pop up and have their own story later on. You'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Corpus and moved to San Antonio. Well, I moved for college and then I moved back home briefly. And then that's when I was working in libraries and then eventually made my way back up here.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love the fact that you got some ideas from that career into your book and, you know, incorporating. So let's start with your book itself. Like, what led you to start writing that first book? Or like, did you have the manuscripts, or this is just something you pursue creatively, or you always wanted to be a writer and you always been writing? What's your writing journey story?
I love this question. Yeah, so I've always wanted to be a writer ever since like middle school. I vividly remember getting my first laptop. I believe I was in fifth grade. And we didn't really have like a stable internet. Like we would have like dial up for a while. And then eventually that, I don't even remember what happened, but eventually we didn't have the internet anymore, but we all still had computers. And so my only two choices were basically Solitaire and Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
And that was kind of how my writing process began. Whenever I get stuck, I go into Solitaire, play some games, try to, you know, unblock some things in my mind, and then go back to writing whenever, you know, I've become unblocked with the writer's block. I still do that a lot, actually. I still have Solitaire on my computer and I still do that.
Yeah. Okay. I need to play Solitaire.
I mean, it's good when you just want to, you know, just like stop thinking for a while.
It really is. And it's a core memory because I grew up in the 90s. So like when we had computers, 90s and early aughts, like, you know, those were the games that we had on our computer. It was Solitaire. And it was, you know, the other one that I don't remember the name, but the one that a core memory was like, just play Solitaire. And I remember my mom teaching me how to do it with card, like in person, like actually like the card version.
Oh my gosh, I've never done it like physically. I've always just done it computer game.
Yeah, so I remember like before the computers, my mom used to play Solitaire in the cards. Like they taught us like card games. I think it was a hurricane. I'm from Puerto Rico, so we had a couple of hurricanes where we'd have power. So we had to entertain ourselves without power, and the cards were like a big part of it. And so I remember my mom vividly playing Solitaire with the cards. And then like having a computer, like, you know, like this is
it's just a core memory for everyone.
This is a millennial core memory.
Oh yeah it's never going away. And that's why I'm still very attached to it, I guess. Just built in from very early on. So yeah, I've always wanted to be a writer. And then it was maybe around 2019 when I was getting more into like the online book community and was seeing more authors kind of be transparent about how traditional publishing works and then how you basically break into the industry. Because that was one thing that I never really knew. Like I knew I always wanted to be a writer and that I wanted to be published, but I didn't really want to do self-publishing because that's a lot of work that you put on your own shoulders. And just, I was too afraid of messing something up. Like, I feel like that's something that I could very easily mess up and then never do it again and then just cry in the corner. So yeah, once I found out how to, you know, basically like how traditional publishing works, I started querying agent. The first book that I queried, I ended up shelving. No one wanted it. It's fine. I'm over it. And then it was the second book that got me my agent and my book deal. So here I am.
Here we go. Here you are. I love this. And so speaking of, like, let's segue, because we started talking about Solitaire's again. I think pandemic, you rediscover gaming again. Talk to us about that rediscovery, because it's like, it's been 4 years, even though it feels like yesterday. Those were the days. Those were the days where, like, summer to start gaming. Like, what hobbies were? I think the pandemic helped us, like, rediscover creative hobbies, or, like, a way to fertile ground for it.
Yeah, I was like, we need to, you know, reclaim the energy of our youth.
Yes.
We were just carefree, no responsibilities.
Yes, or just feed our inner child
yeah.
Play. So it is totally acceptable, you know, therapy speak.
Exactly. That's the best way to put it. So it was during the pandemic when I basically rediscovered gaming. Whenever I was in middle school, that was probably my big, like, Game Boy days. I had a Game Boy Color and then the DS. And then I think around the 3DS is probably when I stopped. But when I was younger, I would always play Pokemon. That was my number one game. And they still make Pokemon games. They haven't changed very much from back when I was playing.
Yeah.
I feel like that's saying a lot, because it had been like, what, 10 plus years since then? So it's kind of interesting how, like, their formula has basically stayed the same.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I mean, that was like a very nostalgic moment for me. But I think what really made me get back into gaming was when Animal Crossing New Horizons came out.
Mm-hmm.
I had never played those games back when, like, they were popular, because I guess I was just too hooked on Pokemon. But that was basically like a big, like, decorating and, like, rebuilding. Like, you can design your island. You can invite cute villagers over to your island, and just, like, basically, it has almost no plot to it. It's really just about, like, designing and, like, making your island look beautiful. And there were so many, like, gamers online just, like, sharing, like, their island and, like, how they did, like, certain things. And it was just really cool. Like, I spent so many hours on that game. And I mean, so many hours just making my island look as pretty as it could possibly be. So that was a huge one for 2020, even into 2021.
So I gotta stop you there. So how do you play it? We gotta dumb it down to someone who has no idea. And so, do you need to get the Nintendo Switch? Like, what kind of?
So it's a Nintendo Switch. I started off with a Nintendo Switch Lite, and I think I used it too much that the joystick got stuck, and I couldn't use it anymore. So bad. And now I need to upgrade. And so that's when I upgraded. They have the Nintendo Switch Lite. It's just the console. It has like a decent size screen. But then when you get just like the regular Nintendo Switch, you can hook it up to your TV. So if you have like problems with your eyes and you just need like a bigger screen, or like just kind of like distance yourself from just like hunched down over like a small screen, you know, like that's a good way to play. It's literally like Switch, so you can switch to TV. You might be able to do it on your computer. I don't do that, so I'm not entirely sure. Or you can just do it as like the console. And the console for the regular Switch is like, that screen is a lot bigger than the Switch Lite.
Yeah.
So that is easier on the eyes too, for that one being a bigger screen. So yeah, that's basically how you would.
Thank you for indulging me, because I was like, okay, well, I would like to play this. It's like, I love no plot, no game. I grew up playing The Sims, Sim Tower, Sim City, Roller Coaster Tycoon, Food Tycoon, like the hospital kind, like all these, like, make your own little world kind of deal. And, like, you design it, and it was a cheat code. I was like, I want to have as much money as possible. I don't want to struggle. So
Sims is one that I want to play so bad, but they don't have it on Switch for whatever reason.
I found that I just got an iPad Mini, which is like my favorite new reading toy ever. It's like so good. And so I found that they have the App Store has the Sims free, and I started playing around with it. So the iPad has it, but it's a computer game. Like it's a. My brother was with the console. Like, he had the original Nintendo, the Nintendo Super Nintendo, the Game Boys, and stuff like that. I think I had Game Boy when I was growing up, but I only played Tetris, I think. Like,
okay.
That was very, like, but the original one, which, like, barely, you know, like, it's, like, no color.
Yes.
Great console. And it's, just, like, you know, like, you just, like, clunky and stuff. But, yeah, I haven't played games. And I'm like, now I'm like, oh, my inner child needs to play some games. I discovered Legos, actually, which is very soothing, but very expensive hobby.
Oh, yeah. I mean, video games, also another very expensive hobby.
Yeah. It's like so soothing. And I'm like, okay, I can listen to an audiobook and then just like do this thing. Like, you know.
Yes. And that's another thing, too. Like, I tend to really like the games where you can just do your own thing. There's not like a necessarily like a big, like, plot point that you have to do or like a lot of dialogue, so you can listen to an audiobook while you're playing, and I tend to do that a lot. So when I was playing Animal Crossing, I was in my zone. I would have my audiobooks in, I would just do like whatever I wanted, I would design, it was a perfect time, hours would go by, the book would finish, I'd be like, when did that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I love this. And so what other games you're now that you're like, you told us Animal Crossing is the one that we can get started. And as someone who like no plot and likes to listen to books, this might be the best way to approach it. But then what other games now that you have a Nintendo Switch, what else can we do?
Yes. So I was also playing Breath of the Wild. That was a big one that I had missed out on because it came out, I believe, in like 2017, and it was a whole big thing where people were like waiting years and years and years for the sequel to come out, and then the sequel finally came out last year. So the sequel is Tears of the Kingdom. It's a big open world game. It's another one that, like, you would think that a game like that would have a big plot to it, and it kind of does, but also just because of how the system is built, it's open world, so you can basically do your own thing from the beginning when you're still in that kind of like trial era before you like, you're like I'm used to this, I know what I'm doing. They just kind of throw you in on the deep end from the very beginning, so it's kind of fun though. Like, I will say it's very hard when you don't know what you're doing in the beginning.
Yeah.
And like, I would die constantly and I would get so frustrated. So I will say, like, it's a little bit of a like intermediate, like, I don't know if that's one that you want to jump right in from the get-go if you're still kind of a beginner.
Yeah.
But it's like, once you reach a certain point, you get enough heart, have enough stamina to do, you know, like your thing, it gets a lot easier. But I will say that beginning, just from the beginning jump, it's kind of hard, I will say.
All right, so it's good to know, like, this intermediate. And also, any other games you want to talk about? We can talk about books after this, so don't worry.
Yeah, so there's one more that I think, like, if you're a beginner, like, it would be a really fun game to play, and also it's kind of a little retro. So it's Stardew Valley. It's like the graphics, like, you can tell, like, it's very like nostalgic from like older games. Mm-hmm. When it's very like very simple graphics, but as far as like the world and what you can do, it is very big, I would say, for a basic game like that. And there's a lot you can do just like within the story, and then also just like within your, like, I wouldn't say it's open world because it does have some sort of plot to it, but it's not as constricting as other games like that, or like you have to follow along this like basic like plot way. And I think if you do like The Sims, you would like it, because my favorite aspect of it is that you can date the other like townspeople. So, and you don't have to choose a gender either. You can date men and women, whether like you're playing as a man or a woman. So like I love that too. And it, so you would think that it was just be a basic farming game, because you come to Stardew Valley because your grandfather left you his farm, which is basically run down, and it's your job to fix it. But there's also a lot of magical elements involved. There's a mine just like off of town, and there are monsters in the cave, and you have to go into the cave to get resources, and you have to fight monsters, which is really cool. So like there's definitely a lot to it. And I would also say, like, story-wise, it is also a very rich game. Like you friend the people of the town, even people you're not dating. And it definitely surprised me, the depth of some of these character storylines. I was like, wow, I was not expecting you to like hurt me that way.
Yeah.
So that's another definitely, like, that's a new favorite. Like, that's my new current, you could say.
Thank you so much for indulging me with these like gaming questions.
Of course.
And even doing the beginner level, the ultra beginner level, I was like, oh, wait, how do I play? Because I know if I have this question, I know some of my listeners may have this question, elder millennial.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're at the Oregon Trail, so we may not be in tune with that, with the new era of toys.
No, yeah, this is definitely like one of my newest like hyperfixations. When I'm not reading, basically I'm playing video games. That's what I'm doing.
Love this. Awesome. So, okay. So let's talk about the next best fling. What is the elevator pitch?
Okay, gosh. So the next best fling, we follow Marcela Ortiz. And essentially she's had a crush on her best friend who she had dated briefly in college. But that's another thing. Like she had just like kind of never got over that. And it's been 10 years. And then he kind of blindsides her with the news that he and his girlfriend are getting engaged. And it really shouldn't be blindsiding, because they've been together for a while and Marcela knows this. But that's essentially her wake up call moment of like, yeah, I need to get over this. Like, I am long past overdue of like, you know, getting over my feelings. Like, something needs to stop, right? But before she can kind of make a plan of how to do that, the ex's older brother, Theo, comes into town. And at the engagement party, he gets very drunk and basically decides that he is going to confess his feelings. And then luckily, Marcela overhears him and is able to stop him before he can. And she's basically like, okay, if I'm not stopping this wedding, you're not stopping this wedding. You're going to come home with me. You're going to sleep off your drunken state on my couch. And when we wake up tomorrow, everything's going to be fine, right? Like, you're not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. We're fine. But then they arrive in brunch the next day as well, the friends and family, and everyone assumes that they hooked up. And they're just kind of like, okay, like we're going to roll with the lie. We can't tell anyone the truth, because then they're going to know about you, and then they might even know about me. Like, we're not going to do that. We're going to roll with the lie. We're going to just let everyone believe that we're going to hook that we hooked up, and then they start actually hooking up. So,
and more will be real. And they're probably going to get feelings, and it's probably going to end happily ever after. But the journey is what takes us to the next level.
Mm-hmm. All about the journey.
So you got, God bless the brother, the forbidden brother, the older brother who you're not supposed to like, but they're like, it's the one that actually you're meant to have.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wrong member. So what was your favorite part about writing this book?
Oh my gosh, I have so many favorite parts. I think because it is something so different from what I've ever done. It was just, I think, kind of building that chemistry between them. I think I had surprised myself even. And that was also, that was just really fun, a really fun aspect of it. And then also, I think just any kind of like love confession, grand gesture, I'm a sucker for. And I think those were probably also like my favorite parts of writing this book, I would say.
Yeah, I love this. All right, so let's chat some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Oh my gosh, I have so many recommendations. I have a whole, my whole rainbow.
I know. Here. I see you have a rainbow shop. I was like, I'm loving your physical book collection. You have the best background whatsoever.
Thank you.
Like you do. I may screenshot it and put it in, like, and then like her background is so.
Oh yeah, it's for inspiration, right? As far as like favorite that are just like near and dear to my heart, I would say Helen Huang is one of those romance authors who is just up there, basically changed the entire, like, everything that I thought romance was or romance was capable of being. Helen Huang was basically like on another level. And I think I just appreciate her books so much for that. The Bride Test was my very first Helen Huang book, and it still remains my favorite of hers. So I would say to anyone who hasn't checked her out yet, definitely do so with haste. Another one I would say, kind of a recent favorite, but 2022 isn't actually that recent, but like that's when I read it anyway. The Chance of a Lifetime series by Kate Claiborne. So Beginner's Luck was the first one. Luck of the Draw is the second one. My favorite. If you're going to read any book in the series, start with that one. I started with that one. And then I went back and read the other two. And then the third one, Best of Luck.
Yeah, I read the Beginner's Luck, and I God bless, I love a lottery winning. Like, I aspire to win the lottery. I aspire to be a lady of leisure.
Oh, I would love.
And get independently wealthy. Like, I was telling my friend Sarah about this. I was like, you know, there's all these, the meme about finance, 6-5, and stuff like that. And I was like, and then I saw the meme, I was like, 94, poor financial health, no family, and, you know, and I'm like, yes, I would like to be a widow. Like, in historical romances, I would like to be a widow.
Oh,
like,
gosh,
you know, like, no, I don't have to have any platonic relationship. I'm not trying to have anything sexual, but I would like a platonic relationship. And then it's like, you inherit the wealth, and you're like,
oh, yeah, set for life.
Like, that's the life.
That's all I
like,
want.
Independent. So I aspire for that. Like, that's like, you know, in another world, another dream, I would like to just be independently wealthy and just read and just enjoy playing games and like doing homemaker stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know, we can say all we want, you know, like money, like, doesn't matter or whatever. Try to like lessen the value. But I mean, like, it brings a lot of value to your life. And I feel like that's the most interesting thing about this series, is that we follow the three friends who, like, they basically split the lottery winning. And it essentially, their books are about, you know, what they want for their lives and what the money kind of helps them do, but then also uncovering like what they secretly want but haven't told anyone. And then now that they have that opportunity to get what they want, just kind of like uncover some like things that they didn't even realize about themselves, which it was so interesting, and I love it. I loved that series. It was such an interesting take on like that lottery win kind of trope.
Yes, I love it. I love Kate's writing. It's just so like, it's, I know it verges on women's fiction, and I know there's a lot of conversation about women's fiction for romance, but there's something to be said about like having the exploration of like feelings, thoughts, emotions, ideas, pursue different things, different life path, and that journey that takes care of it. It lets you kind of like, yes, the romance is important, but there's also so much more to life than just the person that you're going to find. And so exploring that idea holistically, I love Kate that does such a great job with it.
I agree. And there's just something like so tender too about the romances that she does write. And specifically in that series too, her characters kind of like make me ache a little. I'm like, oh my God, like they feel so real.
Yeah. And The Kiss Potion was my first audiobook. So we have like first, you know, like I like Potion. I was surprised. I was not expecting so spicy, and I was like listening to it while doing my job as a temp, and I was like temping with hair bound, and I was like, ooh, no,
Scandalous. You're gonna
I was like,
kick
I
me
don't
out.
think I'm here to be cute. I don't know if I'm gonna hear me in the cubicle next door to me. I still have this job and I now work from home, so I can listen to it on my speaker.
Keep
Like, this is pure
your
audio. Yeah, but yeah, I was like, I remember being, I was like, oh, there's the spicy scenes are included. I'm surprised. I was like, oh.
Ooh, heating up my workday.
Yeah. It keeps the workday a little bit better. So, but yeah. So, Gabriella, tell us where you can find online.
Yeah, so you can find me on my website, GabriellaGomez.com. Instagram is probably my most used social media. So if you have any like quick questions, DMs are open. I'm always checking, to see. And I'm on TikTok some of the time, mostly just like fun little goofy videos whenever I can think of them. And just, that's kind of like something fun that I do sometimes. So I'm on there as well. And on both, I'm at Gabby Writes a Lot.
I love this. Thank you, Gabriella, for being on the chat.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Watch Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the Watch Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit watchreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.